Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, radio family, and welcome. It is another great weekend and another great conversation to get underway. Welcoming you to the weekend edition of Community Focus that is heard here on our Odyssey stations. Indeed, great conversation with members of our Community Focus family. I am happy to say I have two gentlemen who are the newest members. And if you are a homeowner or soon to be homeowner, this program is especially for you, but radio family, I thank you for tuning in every weekend to get the informative facts and information about the good things that people are doing in our communities. So I want to say good morning to these gentlemen, Reggie Briscoe and Michael Lush. Gentlemen, how are you? And welcome to the weekend edition of Community Focus.
Thanks for having us.
You're so welcome. Absolutely. Now, listen, the newbie title is very short-lived with me, so you are officially family to our radio family. And what I really am looking forward to, because I am a homeowner, and this is something that I am very unfamiliar with, and it could be the case for some of our radio family or listeners this morning, we are going to talk about something that's known as a HELOC. And this is in reference to, especially Reggie, when we find out a little bit more about you and the same Michael, if you care to share, why this is so important for us as homeowners, how it relates to any perhaps questions or concerns that we may have about home ownership and especially about owning a mortgage, which, of course, the majority of our listening audience likely is going through that very experience. So let's get this great conversation underway. Reggie, I'm going to start with you. Tell me, first of all, a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been in the computer technology field for over 40 years. I've worked for a lot of major companies, but I made good money. But the main thing is that a few years ago when I was turning 60, I had to face the cold reality of realizing that I had not saved enough for retirement. I have to pay for my wheels. I have to pay for my walls, right?
Right, exactly.
So my house wasn't paid for at that time. I had two mortgage payments that were about $1,800 a month. I had a rental property that I thought would help me in my retirement, but it was producing very little cash flow. And in reality, I felt trapped with no way out. And I was kicking myself because my brother would always tell me, Ellen, to prepare is like preparing to fail. So it was just ringing in my ears. And I was in a situation where I really needed to do something to stabilize my retirement and my family.
And Reggie, I think what you just described, especially for those of us who are 50, 60 plus year olds, maybe slightly younger, I think that's just about every person listening to this public affairs program has likely become very familiar with your own experience and your life story, so to speak. I appreciate you sharing on that. Michael, I want to give you the same opportunity. If you don't mind, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm a longtime mortgage guy. So I got out of the mortgage industry about 7 years ago. I was in for 17 years. And same thing with me. I actually went bankrupt in 2008, you know, during the mortgage meltdown.
Right.
Both me and my wife were in the mortgage industry, and we were young. I got into it when I was 22 years old. And as soon as money came in, that's about as quick as it went out. I just was not a good steward of my money.
Right.
And I just thought, hey, these big checks that keep coming in are always going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all know the history. It was right. like somebody turned the lights off for the mortgage industry.
Yeah.
And the paycheck stopped. But I still had all those liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So long story short, I went bankrupt. And at that time, I started realizing I'm going to learn one of three ways. Either I'm going to learn via mentor, mm-hmm. or I'm going to learn via mistakes, or both. And I actually like both. I don't think not making mistakes is the right way to learn. So I hired mentors. Didn't have a whole lot of money, so I was very sparse with my money and made sure that the mentors that I did hire were the appropriate ones. And right. sometimes I leveraged my relationships to acquire mentors without having to pay for them. And I had a mentor who owned a hedge fund. And ironically, he owned...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
A mortgage company that had called me back and said, hey, we're going to resurrect and start over again. We want you to come back on board as director of operations. So, absolutely.
Wow. And as
so long story short, I'm sitting. Go ahead.
No, you
I'm
go
sitting
ahead.
Down with him.
Right.
I'm sitting down with him at the table and I said, look, you know, I want to be in your sphere of influence. Mm-hmm. So by default, through your hedge fund, you technically own this company. So let me get in front of your folks and offer mortgages. Those would be big paychecks, big mortgages, and, hey, it's scratching each other's backs. That's when he hit me with it. He said, look, people that I run around with, we don't do mortgages. And I thought, yeah, he's a hedge fund manager, right? So he pays right. cash for everything. He said, absolutely not. He said, we always use other people's money. He said, one of the more popular products we use is a home equity line of credit. And I knew what a home equity line of credit was. I convinced thousands of mortgage holders to refinance their HELOC to get a mortgage mm-hmm. because that's what I was told. That a HELOC was like a credit card on your home. But what he explained to me in about 10 or 15 minutes was the opposite. That's exactly what you want. You don't want a mortgage. Right. A mortgage is old French for death pledge. So that didn't sit well with me. And I spent the next year and a half trying to prove him wrong
mm-hmm.
because I had devoted my whole career to the mortgage industry. And basically what he told me was I was selling financial crack to middle America. And I didn't like that. Yeah. So I wanted to prove him wrong. And the more I tried to prove him wrong, the more I proved him right.
Mm.
And then the rest is history. I developed to replace your mortgage, and I got out of the mortgage industry, and now I tell people the benefits of utilizing a first lien position, home equity line of credit.
Absolutely, Michael. Well, first of all, you just took the words out of my mouth by saying the rest is history, and thank you for sharing your story. Secondly, you still sound 22 to me, so just know that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. But wow, what a fascinating backstory for both of you gentlemen. And we're going to get into the details exactly of what a HELOC is. So radio family, if you're like me, I have pencil and paper ready to take some notes. And I would say turn up the volume on this, because this is going to be some excellent information to share. But I want to ask you this first. Reggie, what turned things around for you?
Well, simply put, I was just looking online for a mortgage solution or ways to save money, and I came across an advertisement of a company called Replace Your Mortgage. And this probably was an advertisement. It was only about 20 seconds, 30 seconds. And it was Michael. And he said a few things that actually struck me. Mm-hmm. He said, one, I could pay off my home in 5 to 7 years. Well, I had about that amount of time on my personal retirement horizon at that time. So
right.
That sounded really good. He also said that I did not have to make any more money to be able to pay that off.
Wow.
That was like, yeah, right. But
yeah.
Sounds good, right?
Yeah.
And then he said the only way to pay off principal was to pay off principal. That sounds a little, you know, a little different. But the thing that struck me was he was being frank, mm-hmm. transparent, upfront with the reality that you do have to pay off the debt. So. And then he said also, it was math, not magic.
Mm.
So I clicked on it, and I watched a video that he had online, and then I went to a website that actually, it was his website, that showed the HELOC calculator. And I played with the HELOC calculator for several months,
mm-hmm.
trying to really understand how it works, what it was really telling me. And finally, I pulled the trigger on having a call, with Michael and his team. And that's how I was able to get into the program. And then when I took the training,
mm-hmm.
it was like, wow, I learned so much stuff. And it really simplified something that had I just had no understanding about mortgages and how they work and how to buy money wisely and all that.
Right.
So it was just the training that I got, which actually turned things around for me.
And you know what, gentlemen, I'll say to both of you, Reggie and Michael. Reggie, for you personally, that had to be an eye opener. And Michael, the things that you were able to show him in better understanding, and what you're obviously are going to share with us in the program is how a mortgage worked and how a HELOC mortgage, I don't know why I can't say that word. Let me try that again. Mortgage is 10 times better than your standard one. So just thank you, gentlemen. Just in the first few minutes of this program alone, I have already learned a lot. And I know we're going to learn more about that. I appreciate both of you bringing the knowledge.
Well, I learned something too.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, but
no, not a problem.
I had a buddy that told me, he told me, he said, Michael, you know, we can't really put you on a website or anything because mm-hmm. you've got a face for radio and you've also got a voice for direct mail. So I appreciate the compliment that you said earlier that I still sound like I'm 22.
Oh, great. Well, and it's on the record.
To that buddy.
Yeah. It's, and you tell him you got it on the record right here on Community Focus. Absolutely. Right. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much. I am happy to say, as I generally do with Radio Family, I'm thankful we have a part two of this conversation because we're really going to get into what a HELOC is. So, Reggie, that is going to be my first question to you when we come back from commercial break. But in the meantime, again, gentlemen, I want to officially welcome you as Radio Family to the weekend edition of Community Focus. Reggie Briscoe and Michael Lush. So gentlemen, we are going to take a break and then we're going to come back. And Radio Family, I want you to do the same as we will return with more of the weekend edition of Community Focus right after this. And we do return more of the weekend edition of Community Focus. Thank you for the great company, Radio Family, every weekend and right here on our Odyssey stations. Wonderful conversation. And it indeed continues with members of our Community Focus family and Reggie Briscoe and Michael Lush. We are talking about HELOC. So, Reggie, that was the question that I had waiting for you. And now that we're officially back, let's find out, what does HELOC actually stand for? HELOC.
Actually, it stands for a home equity line of credit. And really, it's hard to understand what that really means. And that's why I'm going to talk about it more. But right away, you learn that it's a line of credit. So it's a mortgage that can function like a revolving expense account. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does to me. And I'm sure for members of our radio family, too.
Right. Okay.
So, Michael, I want to ask this particular question to you. Are HELOCs new? And maybe to some of us.
Yeah, absolutely not. The way that we think of HELOCs today have been around for decades. However, a true HELOC is older than a mortgage.
Really?
A mortgage came to be, yes. Now, it wasn't called a mortgage prior to 1913. Prior to 1913, it was called a mortgage. It wasn't called a HELOC. Everything was called a mortgage. And again, I know you listened to the first segment, but the true definition of mortgage, or the translation of mortgage, is, in old French, is death pledge. So it's a contract based on your mortality. But prior to 1913, a mortgage was essentially a line of credit. It was especially popular with farmers. It was something that you could pay down the farm. Mm-hmm. You sold crop, you pay down the farm. You needed to borrow against the farm that day and buy equipment, you could do so. So the balance could fluctuate daily. Money was fluid. It could move in and out freely. However, after 1913, that's when the game changed for mortgages. And they changed mortgages. They made mortgages a closed-end product, meaning money can only go in but not come out freely. Okay. So essentially, let's say, you know, what most of your listeners are, have a mortgage. Imagine putting 100% of your income into a mortgage for that month. You're stuck when it's time to pay bills because money cannot come back out freely to pay your bills. Well, we all know that lines of credit do that. You know, credit cards, you could do that. You could put all of your income into a credit card, and if you wanted to pay your bills, you could pay your bills on a credit card. Well, a home equity line of credit is no different than that. It's a simple interest revolving line of credit that recasts every single day automatically for free. I'll unpack that later, but I got a question for you guys. What do you think changed in 1913 that made mortgages a closed-end product that benefited the bankers as opposed to the consumers?
That's what is it? I'll let you go first, Reggie.
Yeah, I'm thinking about World War One.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. Yeah. It's deeper than that. The institution of the Federal Reserve.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Federal Reserve is the backstop for banks as we know it today. And what the Federal Reserve allows banks to do is execute what's called fractional reserve lending. So for every dollar you put in a checking and savings account, they really have 10, sometimes 15, to lend out. So if you put 100 grand in there, they have a million. You put a million in there, they got 10 million. So they can leverage 10 times what they have on deposits. So what do you think now became more valuable than anything else to a bank? Deposits. Well, prior to 1913, guess where folks were depositing their money? In their mortgage, because it was liquid. They could get access to it anytime they wanted to. That's why they changed the mortgage and made it a closed-end product, because it forced consumers to segregate their income. Money can only go in, but not come out. So it forced you to segregate your income and leave money out of the mortgage. Now, we thought originally that the game plan was to tack on more interest, because the longer you pay for something, the more interest you pay. That wasn't the goal. The goal was segregation. The goal was to separate you from your cash. So when you have cash that you don't want to put in your mortgage now, where are you going to put it? The banks come along and say, here we go. Got our arms wide open, our hands wide open. Please put it in our depository accounts, our checking and savings, where we're going to give you 0.17% national average. And then when you need to borrow your money back, we're going to charge you 4%. What do you think the rate of return on that type of money is? I can't even do it in my head. It's 1,000% rate of return.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is a lot.
Yeah. So, yeah, people think, well, you know, to go from 0.17% to 4%, well, that's a 3.83% rate of return. No, that's the margin. Mm. The rate of return, cash on cash return, is thousands of a percent rate of return. And banks utilize this strategy all the time to get out of difficult situations. It's happened in 1981 and 83. It's happening today. You reduce the federal funds rate, where the cost of banks to borrow money is next to zero, but then they turn around and lend it out at 3% and 4%. That's a lot of profit.
That really is. Michael, that is just some fascinating information. Thank you for sharing that, because I'm definitely learning something new from this conversation. So you have really broken down the major differences between a HELOC as opposed to a regular mortgage. If I can, and I'm going to address this question to both of you, gentlemen, just as an aside question, because I'm really wondering how this plays into, for those of us who are homeowners and we do have a mortgage. We know that they're obviously, from a financial standpoint, when we talk about percentages, we've heard of the 15% mortgage on a home loan as opposed to a 30. Give us the breakdown, because we likely have some people who are very new to this process of being homeowners. And there's a lot of likely overwhelming, if not confusing, information out there as regards to a mortgage. I hope that's not too difficult of a question, Michael or Reggie, that I'm asking.
No, not at all. Reggie, do you want to take the lead? Do you want me to take this one?
Well, yeah. The only thing I can say is that for me, I can't speak all the math about the rates, but
right.
I do know that this process allows you to get directly to the principal,
mm-hmm.
which you need to pay off. And I've been able to pay off my mortgages, my outstanding mortgage that I talked about a few years ago. I was able to pay off my first home
mm-hmm.
almost immediately because I was able to condense them. And then I was now in a position to actually use my HELOC to purchase a third property.
Wow.
So at a high level, I've gotten benefits out of that and actually have saved, you know, literally tens of thousands of dollars
mm-hmm.
on these mortgages.
Amazing.
All right. And here's what I'll add to that is what we're teaching folks is to not have a mortgage at all. So let's say someone has a mortgage, because you're asking me about interest rates, and I think you bring up a very good point. You bring up interest rates because we are conditioned to think that interest rates are the most important piece
exactly.
of borrowing money, especially
right.
when it comes to a mortgage.
Right.
Because the interest rate dictates what? What do you think it dictates? Most people say it dictates how much interest we pay.
Yeah.
To a certain degree, it does, but really all it determines
mm-hmm.
is the payment on that debt.
Yeah.
Time and balance dictate how much interest we pay.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, let's say I have a 15-year mortgage at 3%. I'm sorry. Let's do opposite of what traditionally thinking
sure.
is. Let's say you have a 15 mortgage at 5%, and you have a 30-year mortgage at 3%. Well, the 30-year mortgage at 3% is a cheaper rate, right?
Right.
But guess what? You pay more than twice the amount of interest
yeah.
because it's a 30-year term. Now, let's flip the equation. Let's say it's a $300,000 mortgage at 3% and a $200,000 mortgage at 4%.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you think you pay more interest on?
Mm.
Most people would say the higher interest rate. Wrong again.
Wow.
It's the lower balance. Time and balance are more important than interest rate.
Mm.
And see, with a HELOC, what you're doing is you're refinancing your entire mortgage if you have one, or if you're buying a home. You buy it with a HELOC in first lien position. Most people think of a HELOC as something that you get based on the equity you have after you've already taken out a mortgage.
Right.
That is true. That is to the traditional thinking. What we've done is we've gone to the banks and said, hey, how would you like our customers to be in first lien position? Well, that protects the bank, right?
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer for a bank. We would, you know, if something happens and they default, if we're in second lien position, there's no guarantee we get our money back.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're in first lien position, the collateral is the house. We're good to go. No different than a mortgage.
Right.
So people never thought to ask the question, well, can I get a HELOC in first lien position? So
exactly.
if you have a mortgage for $300,000, well, then you refinance that entire mortgage into a HELOC.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the benefits of a HELOC is it recasts every single day automatically for free. What that means is, entirely different than a mortgage, you put money in. First and foremost, that money goes to principal, then interest is calculated
mm-hmm.
after the principal has gone down. So then the next day, your interest is calculated on that day's balance.
Mm-hmm.
On a mortgage, the reason why it's called a death pledge, it's a contract that's already predetermined. I don't care if it's a 15-year term or a 30-year term.
Right.
They're all front-loaded. What that means is payment one, 90% is going to interest, 10% is going to principal.
Mm-hmm.
They already tell you what payment two is going to be. They already tell you what payment 24 and 240 is going to be.
Okay.
There's nothing you can do about it. You signed that contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's called an amortization schedule. That's the main difference between a HELOC and a mortgage in terms of interest is you pay down principal. As soon as you do, now it's recasting. It's recalculating for that day's interest. On a mortgage, it's the opposite.
Wow, Michael, that's all I can say to that. Well, let me ask you this question. What HELOC strategies make the best use of a HELOC? Can you give an example on that?
Yeah. I've kind of been going over. So there's two types of strategies. There's
right.
the second lien position strategy,
mm-hmm.
which is, okay, let's say I have a mortgage of $300,000 on a $500,000 house, and I go get a HELOC in second lien position for $100,000. And then what I could do with that $100,000 is take it and put it down on my $300,000 mortgage. So now I owe $200 on the mortgage and then $100 because I just maxed it out on the HELOC.
Right.
And then you funnel your money into the second lien position HELOC.
Mm-hmm.
So that does work. However, you still have a couple things at play here. You still have segregation of income and cash flow. Anytime you segregate cash flow and it's not laser focused towards one debt at a time,
right,
you lose efficiency. So when you have segregation of cash flow, it's going to take longer to pay it off. Not longer than your traditional mortgage, just longer than the first lien option that I'm about to explain. Secondly, you are at greater risk. Right now, we have crazy real estate prices.
Yeah.
It's going through the roof, and it's not sustainable. I'm not saying it's going to go backwards, but it cannot go up at this pace forever. If it does, we'll have two-bedroom, two-bath houses, you know, costing $1 million. So everything will look like California before it's too long down the road. So that can't continue. It will start to calm down. There is going to be a time that we'll have a 2008 again, where we will have a real estate crash, whether it's rampant foreclosures or just overextended lenders and things of that nature. It will happen again. It's cyclical. It's actually designed to happen that way. There's lots of transfer of wealth during those crashes. So when that happens, if you're in second lien position, you scare the bank. Because like I said earlier, there's no guarantee they get a crumb if you default or foreclose. If you're in first lien position, they are guaranteed. So you reduce the risk to the bank. You also reduce the risk to yourself. So some people ask the question, well, I heard HELOCs can be frozen. That's correct, in second lien position. They can also be frozen in first lien position. But the rate of which they do so is almost next to nothing, just like a mortgage. Wow. How many people get their loan called due? Not many, because the banks are protected. They're in first lien position. Mm-hmm. So not only is first lien position faster, it actually massively reduces the risk to you as a consumer.
So, Michael, and I think I'm already going to know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Can HELOCs be used to pay, let's say, off one student loans or other debt that a person may have incurred?
Anything you want. It's your cash. It's no different than cash sitting in a bank.
Yeah.
If you wanted to gamble it all in Vegas, you could do so. If you want to do it for good reasons, you can do so.
Right.
If you want to do it for bad reasons, you can do so. That's why education is key.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's just say, and I'll use myself for an example. If I wanted to make, say, some repairs, much needed repairs to the house, is that another strategy too, through the HELOC that one can use?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Actually, that's one of the reasons the HELOC was kind of coined, the home equity line of credit,
right,
in the 70s and 80s, was people were tapping into it to do renovations on their home. And that's how it's marketed as such. So that's the most common use of home equity line of credit, but that's not how we use it. We can use it for that. I mean, I've got lots of clients that will get a HELOC in first lien position, execute the strategy, but on top of that, they're renovating their home to grow the value of their home.
Right.
And they go and get a new appraisal so they can tap into more equity to leverage to create more legacy wealth.
Excellent. So here's another most important question I wanted to ask you, Michael. Why should a person not do this alone?
It's a maze. The HELOC world is a lot like the mortgage world was prior to 2008, 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Post 2008, 2009, it's all government controlled. So I don't care if you get a mortgage from someone in New York, Florida, or California.
Right.
It's probably controlled by the government. If it's a Fannie Mae loan, that's the government. It's a Freddie Mac loan, that's the government. If it's an FHA loan, that's the government. If it's a VA loan, that's the government. If it's a USDA loan, that's the government. So there's no differences in mortgages anymore. There is a difference in quality of service from loan officer to loan officer, speed, and a minute difference in interest rate. But if you remember prior to 2008, it was vastly different. You had all kinds of mortgage products. Well, HELOCs are not regulated like mortgages are today. They're not controlled by the government, because HELOCs, you have a direct relationship with the bank. It sits on their balance sheet. It is not insured or endorsed by the government. Mm-hmm. So that's between you and the bank. So here's a good analogy. You need to borrow money. You ask me and your mother. Well, one trusts you more than the other one. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have two totally different terms of conditions and policies of repayment. That's the way it is in the HELOC world today. You call Bank A, it's going to be entirely different than Bank B.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one HELOC that rules the roost in the nation. There's hundreds of different of HELOCs. And the way that they are mechanized is entirely different, too. Mm-hmm. So it's a very there are some HELOCs that are, I wouldn't call them bad, but not as advantageous as others.
Oh, okay.
And then on top of that, we create additional strategies that help accelerate and manipulate the interest that the bank sees on your HELOC. And that speeds up the process another 10 to 15%.
Wow. Well, Michael, how have your clients benefited from implementing a HELOC strategy, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have thousands of clients. So we have anything from, you know, one end of the spectrum, which is obviously paying their home off. When Reggie says 5 to 7 years, that's the average.
Okay.
You know, our fastest client is 10 months.
Wow.
Our slowest is fairly newlywed out of college at 19 years. Now, we haven't been a 19-year business.
Yeah.
But that's what was projected based on their income 2 years ago. Well, as they get older, get more experience, you know, get more income, learn to create more income or economy for themselves, well, then they speed that process up. So the average is 5 to 7 years. Now, some people focus on complete debt elimination.
Mm-hmm.
We get into some additional strategies where it's like, okay, debt right now is extremely cheap. When you account for inflation, debt is almost free. When you account for the tax deductions, debt is almost free now. So what is the point of paying it off if you understand the money game? Can we leverage it to create legacy wealth? And that's also what we teach. Like, for instance, Reggie has leveraged his to get a rental property.
Mm-hmm.
So you can leverage your money to buy good things like a cash flow asset like real estate, or you can leverage it to buy a car.
I am really just appreciating all this information because I'm learning some things. I can only imagine what members of our radio family, as I hope they are taking notes, such as I am. And Michael, thank you for using that example because I wanted to, and I've never had an opportunity to ask this question for someone in your field or line of work. What's the median for persons as a first-time home buyer? Because you mentioned an individual who's just at the age of 19, and that's probably the youngest that you think of a person trying to purchase a home.
Right. Yeah. When it comes to the average, mm-hmm. our average client is probably in the neighborhood of 46.
Oh, okay.
But what is possible, it's all up to that individual.
Right.
And here's the thing. This strategy is not exclusive to wealthy people. It is exclusive to people who are cash flow positive, right?
Right.
So I live in the backyard of Dave Ramsey. So all we hear about in our neck of the woods is Dave Ramsey, the budgeting guru, right? I think he's a marketing guru, but a lot of people refer to him as a budgeting guru.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sidestep that. You have to be disciplined with your money.
Exactly.
So if you are spending 100% of what's coming in, this is not going to work for you. Nothing is, not even a mortgage. You won't pay that off either if you spend 100% of what's coming in. So you have to be disciplined over your money. You have to have mastered your budget. But once you've mastered your budget, if you're cash flow positive, I don't care if you're lower class, middle class, or upper class, mm-hmm. this will work. Heck, I've got clients that I've got one off the top of my head that I talked to 3 years ago. Hopefully things have changed, but making six figures per month. Guess how much she was spending per month?
I'm almost six scared figures. To ask.
Yeah. Six figures. I'm like, how is this possible? You don't own a plane.
Right.
You know, but it does. So it doesn't matter what you're making. It's a matter of, have you mastered your budget? And if you have, well, then this can work for you. If you haven't, start there first.
Well, Michael, do you think this is one of the reasons that may hold some people back from taking action because they feel that they don't have the discipline?
Yes, 100%. Uh-huh. And, you know, when it comes to discipline, we have to think of discipline in a different perspective than what we're thinking of it when it comes to trying to save for retirement or trying to, you know, pay off debt. When utilizing this strategy, if you're cash flow positive, say you make five grand goes in and $3,000 goes out, you're going to start melting this debt away. But with your HELOC, you get a debit card, right, or a credit card associated with your HELOC. You also get checks associated with your HELOC. Before you know it, you have access to large sums of money that you probably wouldn't have had access to prior to this. So the simple swipe of your HELOC card, you could go buy a Bentley or a Mercedes. That's a bad thing. It's a car. It's a depreciating asset. Unless somehow you can leverage that to make money, it's typically a depreciating asset. So that's the discipline that is required in this is to resist temptation.
That's an excellent way to look at it. And Reggie, you've had plenty of time to catch your breath and to take all of this in, which I know you've already done with Michael. But I have to ask, how has a HELOC mortgage benefited you personally?
Yeah, I think I mentioned a little bit of this before, but I've literally saved tens of thousands of dollars. My mortgage that I have to pay, I have an interest-only HELOC. So the requirement, because I was able to pay off two properties already, and really in about 3 years, I was able to pay down about $85,000 in principal against those properties.
Yes.
And then I was able to roll the other piece over into a second HELOC that I got, so I could pay for my new property and to pay off the final part of that other piece. But it's interest only, so the interest is about $600 maybe that I have to pay on my debt that month. The rest of all my cash flow, it goes directly to the principal, and that figure is going down per month by up to $1,000 going down.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'll be able to step that up in the future too, because I've been able to use some of that money to set up other cash flows, in a sense. And so I really should be able to pay off my current mortgage within the next 3 years.
Beautiful.
If that's my goal. But Michael makes a good point that you have access to hundreds of thousands of dollars if you have some property that you could actually reinvest.
Mm-hmm.
Since debt is so cheap. So I have some aspects of this HELOC that I haven't even leveraged yet. And the good thing about it is that there's a whole community of individuals that are part of inflation mortgage that support you. Michael's even covering this particular show right now to support me in my efforts to let folks know, but also to get the word out.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, Reggie, with that said,
touched on something that was really important there that I think is important for listeners to understand, especially at the time that we're in right now. We're facing a pandemic.
Exactly.
And, you know, there's been some turmoil when it comes to personal finances mm-hmm. during the pandemic. And one thing that people need to understand with this product is there is more safeguards with this than in a mortgage. So, yes, the government stepped in and started some forbearance programs and things of that nature, which I think is a tripwire to really hurt people financially if they don't understand how those forbearance programs work. But when it comes to a HELOC, again, money can move in and out freely 24/7. It's a line of credit. So we haven't had many, but with our customers that face the pandemic, some have lost a spouse, some have lost their job. So income completely stops. Well, traditionally, what happens in those situations? We got to sell the house or we foreclose, mm-hmm. right? You got to get help somewhere. With our clients, because they've been executing on the strategy for a couple of years, mm-hmm. they had access to cash immediately. You can't do that on a mortgage.
Right.
If you lose your job or have a loss of income, you go back to the lender and say, hey, I need access to some capital right now because I just need to survive.
Right.
Okay, no problem, but you don't have any income. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get qualified. With a HELOC that you took out years ago, it's already there. It's already available to you. So with some of these HELOCs, you don't even have to make a payment because if you have availability on your line, the bank just increases your balance. You're on time until next month. You're not reported late.
Right.
Your balance goes up. It's not ideal, but it's helped many, many people survive until they can get back on their feet to thrive. Now, having said that, we go back to 2008 and 2009. Let's look at default rates. Because we always want to go back to data and math and see what proves out to be better. The default rates on first lien position HELOCs were 115 times lower than folks with a mortgage. What that means is that people that had a mortgage foreclosed at a rate of 115 times higher mm-hmm. than folks with a first lien position HELOC. Why is that? Because of what I just explained.
Exactly.
They can fall back on it in times of need.
Michael, thank you for bringing that to the conversation, especially as regards to the pandemic. I think that's very important to pass along. I tell you what, gentlemen, time always flies when I'm engaged in excellent conversation, which this has been the case. So, Reggie, I'm going to ask and possibly make this the last question of the day. How can we as a radio audience take action?
Well, if you just want to contact me directly,
mm-hmm.
I'm working with a company called Clayton Financial Solutions. I'm partnering with them. I'm using them more or less at the front end for folks who want to reach out to me. We can get them exactly what they need. We can leverage the services of Replace Your Mortgage. That website, if you'd like me to mention it,
sure.
is ClaytonFinancialSolutions.com. And there's a debt consolidation tab there. And you can just click on the Learn More button, and then it'll take you right to another link to Replace Your Mortgage. But also you can leave your phone number and your email information on the front page, and we'll get with you.
Excellent. And let me just share that radio family. Clayton is C-L-A-Y-T-O-N. So that's Clayton Financial Solutions with an S .com. Michael, do you mind sharing any information, particularly if someone may have some additional questions as regards to what a HELOC is?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have tons of free information. I mean, if you go to YouTube and YouTube Replace Your Mortgage, we have dozens and dozens of video that listeners can go and watch. Unfortunately, they'll see my face, but we're explaining the ins and outs of HELOC.
But you're still 22. So.
Yeah. Vocally, I am. Yeah, vocally, yeah. I'm 22 at a minimum. So, but, you know, we also have a book. And you know, if you go to follow Reggie's link there, it'll also take you to some additional free information. We've got a book, an ebook that people can download.
Oh, great.
And they can, it walks them through the math of how this works, the ins and outs of it. And, you know, look, we're not for everybody. You know, some people will understand this, some people won't.
Right.
Some people are just too scared.
Yeah.
Some people are very courageous, like Reggie. Mm-hmm. And when they step through that door that God opened for them, man, you know, it's not miracles that happen. It's just God's design that happens for them. So some will walk through it, some won't. But we're just putting the information out there
exactly.
as readily available as possible. Mm-hmm. And they need to make a decision for themselves.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you both, gentlemen. And I don't want this to be the only time the three of us get together. So I definitely want both of you back on a future program. And we'll discuss the particulars of that once we get off air. But again, I want to officially welcome you, Reggie Briscoe, and you, Michael Lush, to our Community Focus family. Thank you for this important, necessary, and needed information that you shared with our listeners today.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it.
You are so welcome. And thank you, Radio Family, for your great company, as always, and the good things that you're doing in our communities. Please keep up the great work. Gentlemen, with me, there are never any goodbyes, just until next time. So until that next time, everyone, you have been listening to the weekend edition of Community Focus. Enjoy the rest of your day. Stay safe and enjoy the rest of this weekend. Until that next time, take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.